Turning to John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. The reading can be found on page 1070 in the Church Bibles, or page 1889 in the large print version. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is Psalm 34. You can find it on page 561 in the Church Bibles or page 996 in the large print Bibles, and it's also on your service sheet. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory from them, from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So as I begin a prayer, Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Liz says, this morning we're continuing our series as we look at some of the Psalms in the Book of Psalms, Israel's songbook. And we're looking specifically, obviously, at Psalm 34 this morning. Now, Psalm 34 is a wonderful encouragement in the trials of life to praise God, to seek God and to honour God through our lives, because he will not let us fall. And David's writing this psalm as he's thinking back to that particular time in his life when he's on the run from Saul, King Saul, who's trying to kill him. Saul is jealous of David and David's success, so Saul is trying to have David killed. And so he spends a lot of time in the wilderness. He flees to the Philistines, and then he thinks, oh no, the Philistines will sell me back to Saul. So he pretends to be mad, and he escapes from them as well. They just let him go. And so thinking back to this time of great trial, of running for his life from King Saul, he's reflecting on this experience. David's response in this psalm is a combination of worship, thanksgiving, witness, and renewed faith. David praised the Lord in gratitude for his rescue. He says, "His praise will always be on my lips. He delivered me from all my fears." David determined that the praises of the Lord should be constantly in his mouth, regardless of the situation, not just when things are going well, but especially when things are looking grim. Instead of allowing his problems to weigh him down, he's determined to look to God. A little bit perhaps like a camper who wakes up, crawls out of their tent on a cold morning after a really uncomfortable night, to stand and stretch and absorb the warmth of the morning sun. So David raises his face to God to absorb the strength and the encouragement that only God can give. Jesus said, didn't he, in our gospel reading, "Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will be saved." Now, God can do very little for us if we don't look to him. God can't come barging into our lives unless we ask him in. It's not that he doesn't want to. He's always there waiting, but he respects our freedom and he won't come uninvited. David sought the Lord. He looked up to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard and saved him. Now, David had known what it was like to be cold, tired, hungry, and scared. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed or anxious, food seems to lose its taste. When I'm stressed, I'm not able to savour the food. It's just fuel for what might be coming. I imagine that's how David felt. But by seeking refuge in God, through God's deliverance, David knows that he is safe, and so his fear subsides, and then he's able to enjoy life again. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Life tastes good because of God's goodness in his life. Now, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, Aidan Tozer writes this: "That God is good is stated or implied on every page of the Bible, and it must be received as an article of faith as impregnable as the throne of God. It is the foundation stone for all sound thought about God. The goodness of God is behind all and beneath all of God's acts. He forgives us because he is good. He hears our prayers because he is good. He blesses us because he is good, and he is faithful to us because he is good." Now, strengthened and encouraged by his own experience of God's goodness, David goes on to encourage his readers in the psalm. When we're going through troubled times, it's easy to become fearful and self-obsessed. It's entirely natural that we would focus on our thoughts and our energies on survival. But when God rescues us out of these trials, our thoughts and our energies ought no longer be inwards and self-centered, but instead should be directed outwards on encouraging and strengthening and helping others in need. God comforts us and he consoles us, not only for our own benefit, but also so that we might pass it on. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God saves us, he blesses us, he comforts us, strengthens us, and so on, because he is good. But we are also saved to save, blessed to bless, encouraged to encourage, comforted to comfort, and forgiven to forgive. In verse 9, David goes on, and he addresses the saints, that is, God's people. Saints in the Bible are simply God's people. It is being God's people that makes them special, not the word saint. Saint is never used as a term in the Bible for special Christians. We are all saints. Once we put our faith in Jesus, we become a saint, regardless of what might get conferred on us at some later point by some church authority. Every single one of us now is a saint. And David exhorts the saints to fear the Lord. The better translation is to revere the Lord, not so much being afraid of God, but regarding him with deep reverence. And in verse 11, he goes on to elaborate what it means to fear the Lord. Don't speak evil and lie. Don't do evil, but do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So the outward evidence that we fear the Lord will be seen in how we speak and behave. Do good, seek peace, pursue peace. Again, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is peacemaking. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Jesus famously said, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Do good. Seek peace. Pursue peace. So no longer living in fear, slaves to circumstances and constantly anxious, but confident in God and living for others, we are challenged throughout Scripture to live the life and do the deeds of the righteous. The final section of the psalm shows us the different fates of the righteous and the wicked. The righteous will be saved, delivered, rescued. Tragically, evil will slay the wicked. Those who persist in doing evil will themselves be their own downfall. Their own choices will be their undoing. But David also reminds us that being righteous does not make us immune from the trials of life. We are saved, delivered, rescued from something. David honestly says, the righteous person may have many troubles. But then we are reassured that God is always with us. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When we're really up against it, we can often imagine that the Lord has given up on us. We can't feel God's presence, nor can we make sense of our problems. So we begin to fear that God has left us. And it's often only in retrospect that we discover that he's been there all along. It's reminiscent, isn't it, of the famous footsteps in the sand story. And I'd like to finish with that story now, but in a slightly different way. I'd like us all, if you would, to just close our eyes and imagine you are on a long, sandy beach. It may be a beach you know, it may be a beach that you imagine. You're on a long, sandy beach. And you're walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from your life. And for each scene, you notice two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to you and the other to the Lord. You look back at the footprints in the sand and notice that many times along the path of your life, there was only one set of footprints. You also notice that it happens at the very lowest and saddest times of your life. This really bothers you. So you question the Lord about it. You say, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the darkest times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord looks deep into your eyes and says, My precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Let us pray. Merciful Father, give us faith to worship you, to seek you and to serve you, whatever we might be going through. Help us to trust you in good times and in bad, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.